Today we're building one of my favorite small but mighty transition tools in Ableton Live 12, an immense style riser with VHS rave color. This is not just a generic whoosh, we're making something that still feels like breakbeat DNA, so it has rhythm, attitude, and a little grime. Think dark jungle energy, roller's tension, and that worn-out tape machine vibe that makes a transition feel nostalgic and dangerous at the same time. The big idea here is contrast. We want the riser to start murky, narrow, and distant. Then gradually open up into something bright, tense, and slightly unstable right before the drop. In drum and bass, that kind of motion matters a lot. It tells the listener something is about to change, without needing a massive impact hit or an obvious cinematic sweep. So let's get into it. First, choose your source material. We want a short amen flavor to break, maybe half a bar to 2 bars long. If you have a classic amen sample, perfect. If not, any break with a strong kick, snare, and a few ghost notes will work. The point is the attitude, not breakbeat purity. Drag the break into an audio track and turn warp on. If you want to preserve the punch of the drums, set warp mode to beats. If the sample is already kind of smeared and you want even more texture, Complex Pro can work too, but for this kind of riser, beats is usually the better starting point. Now find a short section that has some movement in it. Ideally, you want a kick or snare hit, a few ghost notes, and maybe a little fill or flourish. Something that already feels alive. Remember, the riser should still feel like drums, even after we process it. That's what keeps it connected to the groove instead of turning into a random FX layer. If you want more control, you can right-click and slice to new MIDI track that lets you trigger fragments more precisely and build a more rhythmic riser line. For this lesson, either approach is fine. Next, we build a layered stack. We want three pieces working together. The first layer is the amen texture itself. That's the main rhythmic identity. The second layer is noise. You can use operator with a noise oscillator or another stock source that gives you controlled hiss. This will help lift the top end as the riser builds. The third layer is our VHS grit layer. You can make this by duplicating the break and processing it differently, or by resampling it and adding more saturation, filtering, and modulation. If you're moving fast, group these into a rack or keep them on separate tracks that feed into a shared bus. The key is that the amen layer stays the focus, while the other layers support it. A good balance to start with. The main break texture at your reference level, the noise layer noticeably lower, and the gritty duplicate somewhere in between. Don't make everything huge yet. The tension comes from motion and automation, not just size. Now shape the main amen layer. Insert auto filter first. Start with a high pass or band pass filter, depending on how much low end is in the sample. A high pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz is a solid starting point. Keep resonance moderate. Too much resonance and it starts sounding like a synth sweep instead of a drum-led transition. After that, a drum bus. This is a great Ableton stock device for adding controlled aggression. A little drive, a little transience, and you get more snap and attitude without losing the breakbeat feel. I'd usually keep boom off for this kind of riser unless you specifically want a heavier low-end bump. If the break feels too sharp or pokey, put a glue compressor after drum bus and just tickle it. You only need a little gain reduction. The goal is to glue the texture, not squash the life out of it. Now automate the filter cutoff over the length of the riser. Start dark and narrow, then open it up gradually. For a 2-bar riser, you might move from around 180 Hz up to about 1.2 kHz in the first bar, then open from there up to the top end in the second bar. You can go all the way up into the 8 to 12 kHz range if the mix can handle it. This is where the listener starts feeling the lift. And because it's still break-based, the motion feels rhythmic, not just cinematic. Now let's add that VHS rave character. Duplicate the amen layer and process the copy like it's passing through a dusty tape deck. Add saturator first. A few dB of drive is usually enough. Turn on soft clip if needed. We're looking for color and density, not full destruction. Then add echo. Set the time to something like an eighth note or a dotted eighth, and keep the feedback fairly low to moderate. Filter the repeats so they stay narrow and old school. That helps sell the worn-out hardware feeling. Chorus ensemble can also help, but keep it subtle. We want smear, not obvious wobble. Think of it like soft image degradation at the edges. Then use auto pan for a slow drift. Keep the rate very low, just enough to make the layer feel alive. A small amount of movement goes a long way here. If you go too far, the ear stops reading it as a drum texture and starts hearing it as a stereo effect. This is where the VHS feeling really starts to emerge. It should feel a bit unstable, a little warped, like a sample that's being dragged upward through a damaged tape path. Now for the actual riser motion. Pitch is a huge part of the illusion. If you're working with an audio clip, you can automate the transpose parameter in the clip view. A nice starting move is to sweep from about minus 5 semitones up to plus 3 or even plus 7 by the end. Keep it gradual at first, then let it accelerate a bit in the final moments. If you want a more stepped, ravey feel, use a simpler based approach and automate the transpose in smaller jumps. That can sound more like chopped old school jungle phrasing than a smooth cinematic rise. And here's a really useful teacher tip. Don't make the pitch rise perfectly smooth all the way through. A little imperfection makes it feel much more human and much more DJ friendly. Try a small step up in the last half bar, another tiny jump in the final quarter bar, and maybe a brief high pitch burst or stutter right at the end. That kind of detail is what gives it character. It feels less like a stock FX preset and more like a real arrangement moment. Now let's make it breathe. Use gate or rhythmic autopan if you want a pulsing, animated edge. Keep it subtle so it doesn't turn into a modern EDM pump. You can also shape space with reverb, but the trick is to automate it carefully. Add reverb after the texture layers. Keep the decay fairly moderate, maybe around a second and a half to 2.5 seconds. Use a low cut so the reverb doesn't muddy the low end, and a high cut so it stays a little dark and underground. Then automate the dry slash wet so the build stays tighter at the start and gets more washed in the last bar. If you want a more warehouse or tunnel feel, a smaller convolution space can work really well. We're not aiming for a giant glossy cathedral. We want something that feels ravey, gritty, and believable inside a dark drum and bass arrangement. Now check the stereo image. A common mistake is making the riser too wide too early. That can weaken the drop, because the listener's ears get used to too much spread before the main hit arrives. Use utility to control the width. Start narrower, maybe around 60 to 80%. Then open it up a little near the end if needed. Just make sure the drop still has room to land with impact. And always check mono compatibility, especially if you're using chorus, auto pan or stereo delay. Flip to mono occasionally and listen. If the core break disappears, back off the stereo treatment. That's really important in drum and bass, because the drop needs a clean center. Kick, snare, and sub all need space. The riser should support that, not compete with it. Now we do the final reveal. In the last half bar, automate several things together. Open the filter more fully. Push the saturation a little. Increase echo feedback briefly, then cut it. Bring up the reverb, then pull it back. Let the width expand, then collapse it right before the downbeat. You can even duck the clip gain or output for a tiny moment right before the drop, so the release feels harder. That little moment of near silence or thinning can be super effective. Sometimes the most powerful risers are the ones that briefly seem to fall apart right before they hit. The absence makes the drop feel bigger. If you want an even more VHS rave style move, try a tiny dropout. Mute or thin the main amen layer for a 16th or an 8th note. Let only the noisy tail and delay remain for a split second, then slam the full texture back and on the drop. That's a great way to create tension without resorting to a cheesy impact. Once it feels right, resample the whole riser to a fresh audio track. This makes it easier to edit, trim, reverse, duplicate, or print the automation exactly as you hear it. It also saves CPU and gives you a single clean clip to use in the arrangement. Trim the silence, add short fades, and make sure the final transient lands exactly where you want it. Sometimes that means right on the downbeat, sometimes just before it, depending on the style of transition. A good arrangement move is to use the riser at the end of a 16-bar section. Let the groove breathe for most of the phrase, then bring the riser in during the last two bars, while the bass line simplifies. That contrast makes the drop feel much bigger. In DNB, energy management is everything. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make it too cinematic. If the riser stops feeling like breakbeat energy, it loses the point. Keep the percussion identity alive. Don't leave too much low end in there. High pass it properly so the sub area stays clear for the drop. Don't over-widen the whole build. Width should be a transition tool, not a constant setting. And don't rely on just one sweep automation. In a strong DNB transition, multiple parameters move together. Filter, pitch, feedback, reverb, width, saturation, all working as a single performance. That's another important point. Treat automation like performance, not decoration. If you can, record some of the movement in real time with MIDI mapping. A slightly imperfect knob move often sounds more live than a perfectly drawn line. Here's a nice advanced variation if you want to go further. Try making a reversed ale hybrid by bouncing the riser, reversing the last half, and tucking it underneath the original. that creates a pulling, vortex-like sensation that works really well in darker jungle and rollers contexts. You could also make a stutter ramp ending using beat repeat or manual clip duplication. As the riser reaches the end, increase the repeat density so it fractures into pieces right before the drop. That can sound especially good in more aggressive or broken up sections. Another cool trick is a subtle frequency shifter on the noisy layer. Very light movement upward can add a haunted, metallic shimmer that feels more experimental and tape damaged than a normal pitch rise.